At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, our trained comfort specialists are here to help improve the air quality of your home. So call 855-1-HOUR or visit 1hourair.com.
Always on time, or you don't pay a dime.
Independently owned and operated. Licensed in their respective state or county.
Use your mobile phone to get 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. 7 at 7, weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m.
What is up, hockey fans? This is the Golden Edge Podcast, the podcast for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Talks about hockey and some moves that could be made in the coming days. I am Ben Goetz, one of your Golden Knights beat writers for the Review-Journal. Joining me on the other line, as he always does, is my colleague Dave Shane. Dave, how's it hanging, man?
Fully vaccinated, over the side effects, finally. I think we can both relate to that. So, you know, on the up and up, let's talk hockey.
Absolutely. You love to hear it, by the way. Yeah, we each got vaccinated like a day apart, basically. And the second one, you know, had some side effects, but I'm still extremely happy I got it, as I'm sure you are too, David. Feels good. Feels like we're moving along. Feels are trending in a positive direction here. And that goes for, you know, the NHL and hockey too, and even, you know, baseball starting. More and more people are getting into buildings and arenas. There's just some good positive juju out in the air, wouldn't you say?
I would. Things are looking up. It's kind of crazy to think that normally at this time we would be starting the playoffs and talking about all that, and we're barely, well, not barely, but, you know, we're not much past the halfway point of the season, and yet we've got like basically what, 19 games left. So like, it is kind of the playoff push, and you know, they're all really starting to crank things up, and you can start to feel it, you know, with the games and around the league, and certainly, you know, with some of the player comments and all of that. Like, you know, it's starting to get to a different time of year. You definitely notice it.
Yeah, absolutely. It both feels like the season has just gotten started and that it is dragged on a long time because so much has happened in basically the almost 3 months since puck drop first happened in the NHL. But yeah, now the Golden Knights have reached basically the two-thirds point of their season. They have played 37 games. They're going to play their 38th tonight, Wednesday, as we're recording this, against the St. Louis Blues, which means they will have 18 games remaining after tonight. And one of the big milestone markers of the season is also coming up here, because the NHL's trade deadline is on Monday at noon. So we're going to break down what we think might be happening with the Golden Knights before that date. But before we get to all that, I want to remind everyone that the Golden Edge Podcast is sponsored by 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating. We are presented by Blue Wire Podcasts. Also, you guys can always check out our written work at reviewjournal.com. We have a new newsletter that we've just started to roll out to that you can sign up for at reviewjournal.com. So we encourage you guys to do that. And of course, if you guys could rate, review, subscribe, whatever you do to podcasts, please do to this one. We would very much appreciate it. All right, let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to that trade deadline talk that I think, listen, everyone loves talking about it this time of year. I love, you know, talking about it and speculating and thinking about ways that teams can kind of adjust their rosters. But as we've touched on in previous episodes of this podcast, the Knights are just in a different spot right now than they've been in previous years, where they've made some bigger moves like adding, you know, a Mark Stone, a Robin Leonard, or even an Alec Martinez. They are basically already locked into a playoff spot at this point. They are 14 points up on fifth place St. Louis with a game in hand and 19 games to go as we're recording this. And of course, that lead could increase even further tonight when those two teams play each other. Their cap space is also basically non-existent. They are listed as having approximately $150,000 in cap space on cap friendly, which obviously I think sounds like a lot of money to a normal person, including myself. But the minimum salary for an NHL player is about $700,000. So that's not going to do much for them at the trade deadline. They're going to need to potentially do money in, money out deals or get really creative with having other teams retain cap space for them. You know, and just as a reminder of how cap strapped this team actually is, they played two games last week with less than 12 forwards, and they played one where they started the game with 10 forwards because they couldn't afford to dress anymore. So that's what the Knights' actual situation is in terms of the cap. I think, you know, this team has certainly gotten creative with their cap space in the past. They haven't used it as an excuse to not make moves previously, but it's having real actual implications on their on-ice product right now. So that's going to be something tricky to maneuver around. I say all that to then go, however, in my best kind of Stephen A. Smith impression, the Knights did have their first three-game losing streak of the season last week. They also fell to 2-3-1 against Minnesota, which, as we'll get into in a bit, might be their actual first-round matchup. So I ask you, Dave Shane, any chance General Manager Kelly McCrimmon was watching those three losses at T-Mobile Arena and kind of suddenly getting a little bit more of an itchy trigger finger heading into deadline day?
Yeah, maybe. I think I probably would have, and I'm not sure I would have based it entirely on just those three games and that sample size, but I think you do have to kind of factor in what happened with Cody Glass in terms of him going down to the minor leagues and being reassigned and coming back up, and it was almost more out of necessity. I mean, I think Kelly McCrimmon was pretty open when he talked to me and some other reporters about the move in terms of having him go down there, play, gain some confidence. I don't think the plan for him was to go down, put one goal, you know, dangled between his legs, impress everybody and come right back up, which is sort of what happened. So from that standpoint, I still feel like there's some depth question marks down the middle. We'll see what Chandler Stephenson does now that he's back and just the difference that he makes. And then here's the other part of the equation too, is can you ride the Tomáš Nosek hot streak? I mean, he's got 10 points in the last 11 games that he's played, and he's closing in on like career highs and goals, assists, points. And he had like a 14-game, you know, pointless streak at one point during the season too. So that just tells you how hot he's been, you know, in the last, you know, what, 14, 15 games, even if you go back a little further. So that maybe even factors into the equation. And does Kelly McCrimmon do something? I mean, there's a couple interesting names that I think have at least been presented, and I wouldn't say are linked or anything with the Knights. Certainly Elliot Friedman tossed out, you know, the Ryan Getzlaff, I guess, idea. I don't know how possible that is. I mean, Getzlaff is an $8.25 million cap hit that you would have to get all sorts of creative with. And I don't know if they have the time or the wherewithal to do that with, you know, a team in their division that will continue to be in their division. It's an interesting possibility. There's some other guys. One of them that I think is really interesting is potentially like someone like Luke Glendening in Detroit as a face-off guy, because Pete DeBoer has been somewhat open, I would say, about this not being a fantastic face-off team, that they're not necessarily being somebody that they could roll out there if they need a defensive zone draw and rely on. That was an issue when they traded Paul Stastny and they knew that it might potentially pop up. So somebody like that could be a fix. But, you know, that's the other thing with all this too, is like, you know, just some of the names and what's available and all the obstacles that go into a trade this year, in addition to just the Knights cap situation, like you talked about, Ben, it just makes it that much more difficult for Kelly McCrimmon before Monday.
Yeah, we've touched on all these different factors before, but obviously the flat cap is having a huge effect on teams across the NHL. There's also the fact that the expansion draft is coming up with Seattle. So I think, ironically, you often hear teams talk about how they don't want rentals, they want guys with term. And you're actually hearing the opposite from a lot of GMs right now where they're saying, actually, I would prefer a rental because then I don't have to worry about how it messes with my protection list when it comes to the expansion draft down the road. I do think, you know, it's interesting. I think we are going to go this way anyway, Dave, but you certainly kind of went this direction about, you know, it seems like if there's something that the Knights want to do, it's probably at forward. And now that Cody Glass has kind of gone up and down recently, but certainly doesn't necessarily appear to be locked into their future plans at center, they might have some issues at center depth they want to work through. Now, there's not a ton of guys out there in terms of kind of rental centers that might be attractive to them. Luke Glendening, you mentioned, he's got a $1.8 million average annual value. So that wouldn't be, you know, the most difficult to fit in. You'd still probably have to get creative, but it's not an onerous cap charge. He's winning 63% of his faceoffs this year, which is obviously utterly ridiculous. He's not a guy that's going to get you a lot of offense. He only has 11 points in 39 games, but he's all right defensively, but he's for sure more of a bottom six, potentially even, you know, fourth line guy if you're confident that Tomas Nosek can keep holding down that third line spot. There's other guys that I don't think would get the Knights that excited. Another name that at least would be interesting to see if they kick the tires on is, of course, old friend Eric Halla, who has a $1.75 million average annual value on his contract. That was just a one-year deal he signed with the Nashville Predators. But at the same time, Nashville's all of a sudden one of those teams on a hot streak, and they look like they might actually be making a playoff push there in the Central Division. So maybe they don't want to give up guys because they've been a team that's been rumored of maybe they're going to actually end up selling a bunch of their players. But who knows now? Halla has 11 points in 36 games for them this season. It's tough to get a gauge on the market right now. There's not a ton of kind of, you know, rumors just kind of, you know, slip sliding all over the place. There's some kind of hints that there might be some things in the work, but for the most part, we just haven't seen a lot get done so far, which obviously leads to the question, how much is actually going to happen? And I am curious to get your thoughts on this, Dave. Just in the Knights division, there doesn't seem to be, you know, an expectation of a whole lot of activity, at least for the teams that are doing well. You know, Minnesota Wild general manager Bill Guerin was on Knights broadcaster Darren Millard's podcast I saw earlier today, and he essentially said, like, I'm not going to, you know, blow through our future assets to do something. You know, he didn't feel pressure to make a move. The Colorado Avalanche, I don't think, are necessarily going to make that splashy of a move. The thing that everyone expects them to look into is potentially adding a backup goaltender for Philip Grubauer. But if that happens, I don't think all of a sudden, you know, Kelly McCrimmon is rushing to his phone saying, like, oh my God, they got a backup goalie. Like, we got to get our own guy. So I think if everything is kind of calm in the West Division, I think it just kind of takes away any like big urgency for the Knights to do something as well. Do you think that's kind of might end up being the case?
Yeah, potentially. Let me throw one more name out too, just because, and this is certainly not anything I've heard. This is not anything I'm reporting. Like, let's make that like very clear. But I do think there's an interesting fit, at least in terms of if we're talking about a bottom six center, if we're talking about somebody who's familiar with Pete DeBoer, Patrick Marleau. Now the Sharks are at least kind of climbing back into this, and I don't know if they feel like they can catch Arizona if Arizona continues, you know, to put some distance between, you know, itself and some of these other chasers for that fourth spot. But I think Patrick Marleau and the chance to win a Stanley Cup at least is sort of being mentioned. And I don't know that that means he goes to Vegas necessarily. That might be a tough one to swallow. But I think he's a guy that maybe he's looked at the deadline some other places. So it's just an interesting thought. And again, I'm not necessarily like saying they're doing it or they should or whatever, but you know, the obvious connection is there. In terms of the division and what you mentioned, Ben, I mean, I guess I don't think Kelly McCrimmon should necessarily be as reactive in that situation that you're sort of presenting regardless. I mean, let's just say if, you know, the biggest name out there is like Taylor Hall. Let's just say hypothetically he goes to Colorado. Does that mean the Knights have to like go, oh, shoot, we need to go get something now? No, I really don't. I have a hard time looking at this particular market and guys who could get moved, who have been mentioned as potential, you know, trade pieces at the deadline, and having them be a guy that you look at and go, oh no, well, now what are we going to do? You know, and if the Knights aren't the team sort of doing that, which, I mean, in a way, I always go back to that old, you know, saying about, you know, if you can't recognize the fish at the poker table, then you are the fish. And it's sort of like the same thing. Like the Knights are always the one that are being, you know, proactive. They're the ones that everybody else has sort of had to, I guess, react to in the hypothetical that you're presenting. They went and got Mark Stone. You know, they went and got Robin Leonard last year. You know, they were the oblique team, I guess you could say, for everybody else in the former, you know, now Pacific Division, but what you would call the West Division. So I don't think they would feel any pressure, you know, in that sense, regardless. I mean, if Colorado, it feels like if Colorado is the one team that maybe could make a swing. I don't know their exact cap situation.
They got $2.6 million of cap space as we're talking here. They're going to have approximately $3.2 million of cap space at the deadline. So like I said before, they will probably look to add a backup goalie, some Grubauer insurance. And they're also a team that could try to at least do some sort of swing, because coming up this offseason, Cale Makar is an RFA. He's going to get paid. Their captain, Gabriel Landeskog, is a UFA. He's going to have to get paid. And they've got a couple other guys up as well. So this might be one of their last chances to really kind of quote unquote go for it with these group of guys before certain people end up getting a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, and you know, not to turn this into an Avalanche podcast, but I mean, obviously they're playing incredibly well. And Pete DeBoer kind of joked the other day about, you know, they have to keep pace because he's not sure Colorado's ever going to lose again. So if you're Joe Sakic and you're sitting there in Denver and you feel like, you know, this team is, you know, really steamrolling along, hey, maybe you don't want to mess with it. But at the same time, like if you're going to go for it, this is the year. And with the playoff structure and what's sort of presented for them, I mean, Colorado is the one team in this division that feels like if they're going to take a swing at it, if they're going to jump in the pool, you know, if somebody's going to do it from the division, they feel like the team. I guess that's maybe where I'm going with this.
At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, our trained comfort specialists are here to help improve the air quality of your home. So call 855-1-HOUR or visit 1hourair.com. Always on time, or you don't pay a dime. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in their respective state or county.
Look for 7@7 local streaming news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Find it on your smartphone at the RJ app, or it's available on Roku TV, Fire TV, and Apple TV. Download the app and you're ready to go for 7@7.
Yeah, we'll have to see ultimately how kind of everything shakes out in the next 5 days or so. We, of course, will record a podcast up, you know, probably that night if the Knights do something crazy, or the next day if things happen kind of as we're expecting right now and nothing significant happens. But you know, there's a couple names to keep an eye on. The Knights really haven't been kind of quote unquote linked to anybody, as Dave mentioned, and we're certainly not linking them to anybody right now. But this team has definitely shown an inclination to keep, you know, kind of its fishing line in the water just to see if they end up getting any bites. So definitely stuff to keep an eye on the next 5 days or so. But I want to circle back to what you said about the Avalanche, Dave, and the fact that they haven't lost like in a very long time in terms of regulation losses. They are 13-0-2 in their last 15. And why that's significant, you know, not just because obviously they're a team that the Knights might have to go through in order to make it to the final four of the NHL playoffs. They're obviously the team the Knights are battling for just in the regular season standings for the division crown. And the fact that the Avalanche have started to gain some separation at the top right now. The Knights are 4 points back of Colorado as we're recording this with a game in hand. That means that it's looking slightly more likely that the Knights' first round playoff matchup could be them against the Minnesota Wild. The top three in the division seems really clear at this point. Like I said, the Knights are just 4 points back of Colorado right now. The Wild are 4 points back of the Knights, and they have played the exact number of games for the Knights. And that's certainly interesting if that matchup ends up happening in the playoffs, because as Knights fans are well aware, that's a team that they've struggled with so far in Minnesota. They struggled with them recently, going 0-1-1 in a two-game homestand against the Wild. And playing seven against that team would present a lot of fascinating challenges. Right now, the Knights are, I believe, 2-3-1 against the Wild this season, which is their worst record against any of their division opponents. They've all been close games, but the Wild have had the edge in almost all of them. Have you seen anything specific in these games so far, Dave, that the Knights should be concerned about? I mean, is the puck just not bouncing their way? Because, like I said, I think basically almost all the Wild's wins in this series so far have been by one goal this season. Or are there, you know, reasons that the Knights should be concerned about how this matchup has been going so far if they are going to meet ultimately in the first round of the playoffs?
So I don't want to be an apologist for the Knights here, but it does feel like there was a little bit of extenuating circumstances in those games last week in terms of them being shorthanded, in terms of Ryan Reeves being a late scratch, in terms of, you know, everything that that's set off, you know, for the Wild series and, you know, being short guys and then having to mess with lines and just sort of running out of gas, I thought, in the second game. I mean, they're up basically 1-0 into the third period. They're just huffing and puffing to try to get it across the finish line. Minnesota scores, you know, two goals 55 seconds apart, and all of a sudden you get nothing out of it. So, I mean, you're right there. It's tough, and those were hard situations. Now, all that being said, there's a history with this team that the Knights, you know, just haven't been able to crack through. And that goes back to the very first season. And obviously, you know, different players, different coaches, different systems, different everything. But there's just something, for whatever reason, a green jersey just doesn't suit their eye. I don't know what it is. If they get into a series with Minnesota, I do think there's some concern. And Pete DeBoer even mentioned this too, because they've struggled to score against them. And that's just what's been most apparent in these games. A couple of the home games early on when the Knights were able to sweep, you know, they found the back of the net and they're able to get some breathing room in those games, and they felt a little easier. You know, they go to Minnesota and they can't score and they're kind of beat up. They don't have a full lineup. And then they play them again and they can't score. And now it starts to get into, you know, their heads, and you start to imagine and you start to envision scenarios like Dallas, where every game is like a 2-1 game, a 3-2 game. And then we start talking about depth scoring and secondary scoring. If Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty aren't producing, if the second line, the Misfit line, isn't producing, all those sorts of things that seem to rear their heads with the Golden Knights. And so I'm going to circle back a little bit just in terms of the trade deadline. Unless the Golden Knights are going out and getting somebody who can produce consistently offensively, which we don't expect them to really be able to afford to do, a lot of these same questions and a lot of these same issues potentially could pop up against Minnesota, because Minnesota's gotten good goaltending against them so far. Kokkonen had a good series. Talbot made a couple stops against Keegan Kolesar that were, you know, obviously highlight reel that Keegan Kolesar certainly wasn't too pleased about. So there's a lot of sort of, you know, bugaboos and little sorts of things that have happened so far when the Knights have faced the Wild that potentially just psychologically you'd like to get over, at least, you know, when they play them the last two series, and maybe if that's who you're matching up with, you would feel better about a series going into.
Yeah, well, they still have two more games against the Wild this season. Both of those will be in Minnesota, so it'll be interesting to see how those play out. If, you know, like I said, as it's trending, these teams are kind of end up becoming destined for a postseason series. The Knights would obviously like to avoid that because it would mean that they end up winning the division and they made Colorado and Minnesota kind of play each other in the first round. And that way they only have to deal with one of those teams in the postseason. But certainly I think kind of the, you know, lack of scoring that you mentioned, Dave, is something that's got to be on this team's mind, just because it's been kind of this season long quest for Coach Pete DeBoer of, you know, we mentioned kind of the first media availability he had after getting back from the bubble of like, I didn't like how our in zone offense looked. We're a team that looked great in transition, but we struggled to score inside the offensive zone. And that has been his mission all year. And we saw that actually look really nice last game that we saw Monday against the St. Louis Blues, where the Knights were, you know, getting shots from the point to go through, whether directly with screens or, you know, indirectly with like tips and deflections. Tomas Nosek had one. That's huge for the team. If they can figure out how to do that, not just against the St. Louis's of the world, which is crazy to say, because heading into the season, we thought, hey, if you can score in zone against the St. Louis Blues, that's a good sign, but not with how the Blues have been playing lately. If we can start to see them do that the last two games against the Minnesota Wild, they play them on May 3rd and May 5th in Minnesota. That are the Knights' third to last and fourth to last games of the season. I think they'll be able to roll into that series with a lot of confidence. And, you know, no matter what, the Knights will still be rightly so favored in that series, just because they've got, you know, a little bit more offensive firepower and a little bit more depth so far than the Wild. But it'd be certainly a very fun and very entertaining series to see, just given how close these games have been so far. Now, the big question heading into that postseason series, or whatever first postseason series the Knights end up playing, is about the goaltending. And that's obviously been a topic that's been huge for the past year or so, ever since the Knights acquired Robin Lehner last trade deadline. So we're just tying in a bunch of topics with this one. But I think it's something that we're going to need to keep checking in on pretty often here the rest of the way. Last week, we talked about how it seemed clear that Marc-Andre Fleury was kind of still sitting in that number one chair, because Pete DeBoer had him start both games in Colorado against the Avalanche, where the Knights ended up going 1-1. So that was, you know, kind of where the hierarchy sat a week ago. And there's nothing to suggest that that has been changed. And, you know, a week's worth of a sample size certainly shouldn't change the pecking order like that. But it's worth pointing out that in his last five starts since coming back from a concussion, Robin Lehner is 4-0-1 with a .948 save percentage and a 1.38 goals against average. All of those numbers are obviously ridiculous. Marc-Andre Fleury, since the beginning of March, and Robin Lehner came back that month, is 8-6 with a .910 save percentage and a 2.62 goals against average. And all of those numbers are kind of below his career norms, which you would expect from him, you know, based on his career statistics. Now, like, that goals against average isn't that far off. The save percentage isn't that far off either, but they are just slightly below Fleury's career averages. So that sets up the obvious question, Dave, of Marc-Andre Fleury. I think if the postseason started tomorrow, would still get the starting gig for the Golden Knights. But because the playoffs are not starting tomorrow and there's still about a third of the season to go, is this going to be a competition for the Knights the rest of the way?
Yeah, 100%. So somebody pointed this out to me, and I will bring this up because I do think it's fair to point out. Robin Lehner has had, let's see, 1, 2, 3 starts against St. Louis, 2 against Arizona, 3 against the Kings, 1 against the Ducks, 1 against Minnesota. So certainly there has been a difference in competition, I believe, that he's faced this year versus what Marc-Andre Fleury has, and I do think it's fair to point that out. Now, I'm going to counter that a little bit because I'm going to try to get inside Pete DeBoer's head for a second. We saw a game last night, two nights ago as we're recording this, where the Golden Knights and then Pete DeBoer, with a little reminding, admitted that they were not very good in the first 5 minutes and especially even into the first 10 minutes of what turned out to be a 6-1 win. And a lot of the credit for that went to Robin Lehner and the saves that he made early on, a couple breakaways, in tight, and just keeping them in the game. Those are the types of things that stick in a coach's mind, that as you're evaluating, as you're trying to say which goaltender is playing better, who do I want to go with? Those are the things that you sort of go to. And as much as we, you know, you can argue it's a competition and this and that, and Marc-Andre Fleury carried them and he started both games in Colorado and all of that, it sort of feels like at this point, maybe Robin Lehner has certainly narrowed the gap, if not gotten it back to maybe dead heat here in Pete DeBoer's mind. And I think what's going to happen going forward is going to be telling, and it's going to just play a lot into who gets the start. I don't think it's automatically Marc-Andre Fleury at this point. I think if he plays well and Pete DeBoer feels like he gives him the best chance and he deserves it, then that's who he's going to go with. But in terms of Robin Lehner and his performance, the way that you mentioned, you know, since he's come back from the concussion has been, you know, what, 920, 938, 960, 946, 969. That's his save percentage in the five games that he's come back. So if he's locked in and playing that well, we know Pete DeBoer likes his stats and certainly looks at his numbers and has a feel for things. I think the last stretcher and whoever gets them, you know, to the finish line in the spot that they want to be in, you know, is going to be the guy that gets the first chance here going into the postseason. And I don't know who that's going to be right now. And maybe that's the most telling thing.
No, absolutely. I certainly have no idea, but I think it's definitely more open than we thought it might be. Like I said, as soon as a week ago. So that's something to keep an eye on. Obviously, keep an eye out for any trade deadline news with the Golden Knights. We're not expecting a lot of big fireworks, but you never know whether a sparkler will go off or something like that. Also, please make sure that you guys are checking out reviewjournal.com for all the latest news on the Golden Knights. You can find both of our written content there. Also, subscribe to our new Golden Edge newsletter to get all of that information directly into your inbox. Of course, if you guys could rate, review, subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, whether that's iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc., that would be greatly appreciated. Please help out our lovely sponsor, which is 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, as well as our presenter, which is, of course, Blue Wire Podcasts. It would mean the world to us if you guys could support the people that support us. But for now, that's going to do it for this edition of the Golden Edge Podcast. I'm Ben Goetz. That's Dave Shane. And we'll talk to you guys again real soon.
At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, our trained comfort specialists are here to help improve the air quality of your home. So call 855-1-HOUR or visit 1hourair.com. Always on time, or you don't pay attention. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in their respective state or county.
Please check out our new 7 at 7 newscast weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Get every bit of local news you need in 7 minutes from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.